As Jimmy turned homewards, the northern end of Rama seemed incredibly far away. Even the three giant stairways were barely visible as a faint Y etched on the dome that closed the world. The band of the cylindrical sea was a wide and menacing barrier, waiting to swallow him up if, like Icarus, his fragile wings should fail. But he had come all this way with no problems, and though he was feeling slightly tired, he now felt that he had nothing to worry about. He had not even touched his food or water, and had been too excited to rest. On the return journey, he would relax and take it easy. He was also cheered by the thought that the homeward trip could be 20 kilometers shorter than the outward one, for as long as he cleared the sea, he could make an emergency landing anywhere in the northern continent. That would be a nuisance, because he would have a long walk, and much worse, would have to abandon Dragonfly. But it gave him a very comforting safety margin. He was now gaining altitude, climbing back towards the central spike. Big Horn's tapering needles still stretched for a kilometer ahead of him, and sometimes he felt it was the axis on which this whole world turned. He had almost reached the tip of Big Horn when he became aware of a curious sensation, a feeling of foreboding, and indeed of physical as well as psychological discomfort, had come over him. He suddenly recalled, and this did nothing at all to help, a phrase he had once come across, "Someone is walking over your grave." At first he shrugged it off and continued his steady pedaling. He certainly had no intention of reporting anything as tenuous as a vague malaise to hub control, but as it grew steadily worse, he was tempted to do so. It could not possibly be psychological. If it was, his mind was much more powerful than he realized, for he could quite literally feel his skin beginning to crawl. Now seriously alarmed, he stopped in midair and began to consider the situation. What made it all the more peculiar was the fact that this depressed, heavy feeling was not completely novel. He had known it before, but could not remember where. He looked around him. Nothing had changed. The great spike of Big Horn was a few hundred meters above, with the other side of Rama spanning the sky beyond that. 8 kilometers below lay the complicated patchwork of the southern continent, full of wonders that no other man would ever see. In all the utterly alien yet now familiar landscape, he could find no cause for his discomfort. Something was tickling the back of his hand. For a moment he thought an insect had landed there, and brushed it away without looking. He had only half completed the swift motion when he realized what he was doing and checked himself, feeling slightly foolish. Of course, no one had ever seen an insect in Rama. He lifted his hand and stared at it, mildly puzzled because the tickling sensation was still there. It was then that he noticed that every individual hair was standing straight upright. All the way up his forearm it was the same, and so it was with his head, when he checked with an exploring hand. So that was the trouble. He was in a tremendously powerful electric field. The oppressed, heavy sensation he had felt was that which sometimes precedes a thunderstorm on Earth. The sudden realization of his predicament brought Jimmy very near to panic. Never before in his life had he been in real physical danger. Like all spacemen, he had known moments of frustration with bulky equipment, and times when, owing to mistakes or inexperience, he had wrongly believed he was in a perilous situation. But none of these episodes had lasted more than a few minutes, and usually he was able to laugh at them almost at once. This time there was no quick way out. He felt naked and alone in a suddenly hostile sky, surrounded by titanic forces which might discharge their furies at any moment. Dragonfly, already fragile enough, now seemed more insubstantial than the finest gossamer. The first detonation of the gathering storm would blast her to fragments.